And we're going to look at chapter 1. A little later on, we'll turn a few pages over, and we'll also look at chapter 3. And this morning, I want to talk to you about how to develop an unbreakable faith as we know, grow, and show. How to build an unbreakable faith or develop an unbreakable, unshakable faith as we know, grow, and show. How many of you ever heard the term deep fake? It seems like it's something we hear of more often. For most of my life, I had never heard of this term deep fake or deep fake video or deep fake picture. Sometimes it's created by AI, but it's a picture that seems very real or a video that seems very real, but is in fact fake. Now, this is really, you know, disconcerting to me because we have always believed that seeing is believing, right? And now it seems as though seeing is not, in fact, believing. We don't know if what we're seeing is real. It seems real, but is it? Well, in the book of 2 Peter, Peter was writing to a group of people who were wondering if they had real faith. Their true faith in Jesus Christ was under attack, and there were false teachers who were teaching deep fake Christianity. It seemed so much like the real thing, but it was far from it. Paul described something like this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He identified a teaching that was called a different gospel. It seemed like the same thing, but oh, it was very different. And this is very important. It's a very serious thing because true faith in the true gospel brings true eternal life. But if you remove genuine faith or remove the genuine gospel, the result is real judgment. So this is so important. And so Peter begins this letter, and if you will direct your attention to chapter 1, he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's almost as though Peter was writing to people that were saying, Peter, it's easy for you to have genuine faith. It's easy for you to know the real deal because you walked with Jesus. You talked with Jesus. You were there and heard Jesus' very words. But our faith is struggling. We're experiencing terrible persecution. We're wondering, is this real? Should I give my life for this? Not only that, but then there's other people who are coming along, false teachers, and they're teaching some other kind of thing than what you've said, and we're wondering, what is real here? So Peter gives them exactly what they need to hear to be sure they weren't following a deep fake. He says, listen, this is the key. Know the truth from God's word and know Christ better through his word, and you will not be tricked by deep fakes. You will have a, as he described, a like precious faith. He's saying, you have the same faith that I have, and it is precious. It is real, it is true, and you can stake your life on it. Your faith will be unbreakable, unshakable. So how do we see through deep fake teaching? Because there's a bunch of it even today. How do we recognize the true gospel? And how do we grow and develop in this true gospel so that we have unshakable faith? Well, it's the same way Peter told them in their day. You got to know, grow, and show. Let's ask God to help us understand. Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is for people whose faith is under attack, maybe not to the same level of persecution, But Lord, certainly by false gospels that abound. Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus our energy on knowing Christ through his word, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then showing the evidence of genuine faith by what we believe and by what we do. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Our theme this year is know, grow, and show. This is the grow part of that theme. And so let's go ahead and dive in by reading through verse 11, okay? So you can follow along in your Bibles. You can remain seated this morning. I'm going to read aloud. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the, oh, by the way, little hint, look how many times the word knowledge is used, okay? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Ooh, a precious faith and precious promises? That's awesome. That through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. We might even say endurance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No grow show. Let's talk about that this morning. First of all, we have that word no. Hopefully, you've already seen how often it's repeated in this passage. Repetition is the Bible's volume control, and he is cranking up the volume in this passage on the subject of knowing Christ. But oh, don't think for a minute that this is merely a knowledge of the facts. It is not merely information that's being accumulated in the mind. Oh no, this implies a personal, direct relationship, a type of knowledge that comes from hanging around someone and getting to know all about them, their likes, their dislikes, and to get to know their very heart. This is what Peter is trying to get across to them. How do you develop an unshakable faith? Get to know Jesus really, really well. Know his heart for you, and you will not doubt. In his book, Deeper, Dane Ortlund actually talks about how people think we grow and how we actually grow. I found it very helpful. I'll share it with you. Some people think that we grow simply by outward improvement. We behave more and more in accord with some moral norm, the biblical law, the commands of Jesus, or conscience, or whatever. If I can just be more like this rule, then I will know Jesus. But that's lacking. Some people think it's through intellectual addition, understanding doctrine with greater depth or precision. Important, but not complete. Some people think that spiritual growth happens by a felt experience, a sensory or emotional experience as we worship God. Think smells and bells for the Catholics, or think about tambourines and tongues for the charismatics. People think that if I have an emotional experience at church or during personal worship, that means I'm growing. All these things can be important. In fact, they are important. But there's two problems. One is it's only partially true that they help you grow, and it starts with the wrong object, and it has the wrong order. Object and order are just as important as outcome. As we seek, and this is, we're going to put it in order, as we seek personal fellowship with Christ through His Word, so it does involve accumulating information, He will deepen our understanding and joy of Him, which is that experience with personal joy and happiness in Him, and He will transform us by His power. There's going to be a change and a becoming more like Jesus, so we follow His commands, or that we carry out the Ten Commandments. But starting with those things and expecting that will help me grow or make me grow is not completely true. We start with, I want to know Jesus Christ. And as I fill my heart with His Word, as I interact with Him and have intense personal, emotional experiences with Him, I will then have life change so that I start obeying His commands. But starting with those things, instead of starting with just wanting to know Jesus Christ, will not give us what our heart longs for. So we have to start in the right spot. But getting to know God, Christ through His Word is very important. We can't separate Jesus from God's Word. That is how we get to know Jesus. As we dig into God's Word, the Holy Spirit interacts with our heart, makes it plain, applies it. We have joy in Him as we see Him in His Word, and then we begin to know Him and we begin to actually grow. We breathe in God's Word through studying it. We breathe out God's Word in prayer, and we do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, my friend, hang on for dear life, because you're going to grow. Maybe faster than even you're comfortable with, but it is going to be a joyous ride. Listen, we need both this personal relationship and biblical truth. They're hand in hand. They go together. Listen, if you remove either one of these, personal relationship and biblical truth, you end up with a cult. Okay, if you remove seeking Jesus from God's Word, you know what you get? A Pharisee. It's dead words on a page, no real relationship. Oh, they knew God's Word. They didn't know the God of the Bible, and they certainly didn't know Jesus Christ. You have dead legalism. But remove biblical truth, and you have pagan Gnosticism, some of which Peter is addressing in this book. We won't get the chance to look at all of those, but I encourage you to read it. Three short chapters. Take away biblical truth and you get pagan Gnosticism or cultic mysticism. Both of these extremes are extremely dangerous. Get to know God in His Word. Listen, we have to fight against those tendencies. Word without Jesus or Jesus without Word. In this book, in chapter 1, verses 12 through 21, Peter actually says this regarding the truth. He says, for this reason, this is verse 12, chapter 1, I won't be negligent to remind you always of these things, though now you know them and are established in this present truth. Yes, I think it's right that as long as I'm in this tent, as talking about his body, he's referring it to his tent because, you know, tents get packed up one day and put away, right? So does this body. It don't last forever. As long as I'm in this tent or in this body, I'm going to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I'm going to have to put off this tent, just as Jesus our Lord showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He's saying like this, hey guys, do I sound like a broken record? Well, guess what? I'm going to keep on sounding like a broken record. As long as I live to the point that Jesus says it's time for me to go and leave this life, which he said is probably pretty soon. So he's pretty intense because he knows that he doesn't have much time. He goes, but just so you know, I'm going to be sure that broken record keeps on playing, because after I'm gone, I'm going to teach guys who will come and they'll keep on saying the same things I'm saying. And what am I saying? Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't ever get your eyes off Christ. Don't ever lose your love for seeing Christ in the Word and pursuing Him with your whole heart. He says, we have received this truth, and in this precious truth built on precious promises, we still stand. Listen, you can't understand the truth about yourself, about this world, or about God without the Word of God. Matter of fact, I believe that's the reason why there's so much confusion in this world. If you don't have truth, you have to invent your own reality. But listen, I can't emphasize this enough. You need to see who you are according to God in His Word. You need to see the world around you through the eyes of Scripture. You need to see who God is through the Word. Discover Him. I believe that's why there is so much confusion, gender confusion, sexuality confusion. Confusion reigns in our world. Why? Because people have forsaken truth, absolute, in God's Word. But that ought not be us. That ought not be us. Get to know Him through His Word. Get to know Him, oh, I love it, through glory and virtue. Look what he says. His divine power has given us everything that pertained to life and godliness. We'll talk about that in a minute. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. We can look at it this way. Glory and virtue is glory, all His attributes. And His virtue, how He uses those attributes in all of His choices throughout all of time. What God is and what God does because of who He is. He says, who God is what called you to Himself. When the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and you see the glory of Christ and the glory of God, your heart was drawn to Him. He says, now it's that very glory by which He makes promises to you, promises that you can trust. Hey, listen, if I make a promise to you, I may have every intention on keeping it. But am I absolute in my power? No. I might say, hey, I'll be at your house on Tuesday at 2:00, and my car could break down, I could get sick, I could forget, something could happen. Let me ask you a question. Is God Almighty or Jesus His Son subject to the same frailties as we humans are? Absolutely not. So when I make a promise, I may or may not keep it. But when God makes a promise, does He keep it? Because of who He is. So when He says, this is the precious faith built on precious promises, you can bank your soul on it because I never change. You may change, this world may change, but I don't change. So latch your soul to the person and the truth that never changes. Get to know His glory and virtue. But not only are we called by His glory and virtue, my friend, we're called to His glory and virtue. That's what that means when He says partakers of the divine nature. He says, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. He says, not only am I holy, and not only do I live out of my holiness, but I'm going to start infusing my holiness in you through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit so that you start actually partaking of the divine nature. Listen, I've heard some weirdos, and I'm just going to say they're weirdos, try to convince people that we become little gods according to this. No. There are certain things about God that I can never be. I can't be everywhere at once. It sure would be nice. I'm telling you, sometimes with our schedules, wouldn't it be nice to be able to be in a couple places at least at a time? I can never be that. I can't ever be everything that God is. But there are certain things that God says, I'm going to share with you. I'm going to share my holiness with you. I'm going to start infusing you with an understanding of what is right and what is wrong, and then living out of a commitment to what is right and what is wrong according to my word. I'm going to start infusing you with that. Hey, I'm going to show you what real love looks like. And not only am I going to show you what it looks like from my word, I'm going to take my Holy Spirit and he's going to start infusing you with your love. So you're going to start actually loving people in ways you thought you never could. You're going to start having a heart for people that looks like the heart of Jesus. And it's going to blow your mind. And you're going to be like, God, I never thought I could have this much love for you or this much love for others. He goes, that's what I do. I impart you with my nature through my glory and virtue. We get to know Christ. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 3:18. But we with an all, talking about Christians, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. He goes, listen, you look at Jesus Christ and you stare at him and you keep your eyes locked on him, and what's going to start happening as you look at him through the word's going to start to transform your life, and it's going to begin to change, and you are going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. We'll say it this way, more like Jesus, more like Jesus. Jesus, more like Jesus. And how did Peter say this happens? Let me say it like he said it. No Christ, no Christ, no Christ, no Christ, and you will grow. He said it over and over and over and over. By the way, I can't just wait. It's later in my notes, but I got to get to it now because my soul's just brimming over, okay? I'm boiling. Go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. Look at, they're almost at the very end, 17 and 18. So at the beginning, he says, no Christ. And then at the end, he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. He goes, you're concerned about believing a deep fake and departing from Jesus? Don't worry. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Yes, don't fall away from Christ. How do you prevent that? Look what he says, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because to him be the glory both now and forever. He says, listen, you want a bit of the glory of God in your soul? Look to Jesus. You will not be disappointed. Hey, I want to have a faith that doesn't get tricked, that doesn't fall away, that doesn't buckle under persecution. How do I get that? And he says, grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is grace? That is Christ and all his attributes working in you. It's God's favor. All that God provided in Jesus is yours. Let me say it again. All that Jesus has provided is yours. Not just mine. Not just really awesome people. It's yours. Take it. Take it. It's yours. So we know and we grow. How do we do that? And I'm going to have to move along here. But how do we do that? He says by his divine power. His divine power has given us everything that have to do with life. That's eternal life. But don't look at it as something in the sweet by and by. Look at eternal life this way. This is the type of life that Christ had on earth. He's infusing me with that life. What made Jesus, Jesus, begins to be infused in us so that we become more like Jesus and godliness by knowing him. And we become sharers of this divine nature. But what does he say here? It's his divine power. How do we grow? It has to be the power of God. It's through Jesus Christ. By the way, what Jesus has already done and is now applying to your life. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, listen, with him. When he died, I died. My old life died. And the body of sin might be done away with so that I could overcome sin. So that we would no longer continue as slaves to sin. You say, but I feel like I'm still enslaved to certain sins. You don't have to be. Through Jesus Christ, that power has been broken. What we have to do is start living the reality that it's true. We have to start getting up every day and saying, I've been set free from sin. I don't have to choose that sin. Jesus died and rose again so that I can say no to this sin. So, Heavenly Father, I pray in the power of Jesus, help me to say no to this sin every time today. And you say, well, I tried that. and I gave in. Don't stop doing it. And this is what you're going to see. More and more, you're going to say no instead of yes. And then pretty soon, almost all the time, you're going to say no to that sin. And then pretty soon, you're not going to be saying yes to that sin at all. You'll overcome it through growing in the knowledge of Christ and that grace that he provides. You're getting to know how it works. Here's the thing is, about half the time, our big problem, no, let me say it this way. The problem is never that Jesus is not doing his job. It's that we're not believing that he's doing it. If we would get a hold of, by the way, I challenge you, look at Romans 6, 7, and 8, and it'll tell you the same thing. You look at those passages, and what it'll tell you is that we have to yield our members to him because of the reality to believe that it's true, and then just to say, because it's true, I'm going to live by faith in it, and then it actually begins to happen. The problem is our faith in what Christ has done and is doing. It requires God's power. He set us free. He gave us eternal life. He's infusing us with godliness. But it also involves personal involvement. What do I mean by that? For this very reason, you should give all diligence to adding to your faith. Listen, it's not, I'm going to sit back and Jesus do all the work. It's, Jesus has provided this for me so that I, through active faith, can start living in that truth by making choices and continually asking him to help me. By the way, that's what prayer is. You realize that, right? Sometimes we think prayer is, oh, I got my prayer list. Those are helpful. But at its heart, you know what prayer is? It's having a conversation with God. And as much as you can, make sure it's a continual conversation with God. Start a conversation in your morning that doesn't stop all day long. Not till your head hits that pillow. And then you get up and says, well, let's pick up where we left off, Jesus, and keep going. Talk about him. What is prayer? It's talking to God about everything. Everything. Yes, it's asking him for some things. But first of all, I just want to get to know him by talking to him. He talks to me in his word, and I talk to him in prayer, and then his word, it's an interactive thing where his word, I'm breathing in the word, I'm breathing out prayer or a response to the word, and I'm having this ongoing conversation with Jesus all day long. It's a personal involvement thing. You have to, it's a progressive priority work in your life. You have to get involved. You have to want it. But it's also a group project. I don't have a lot of time, but just remember this. He says, I've told you, other people are going to tell you. And by the way, in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, and know what? Paul's been telling us too. Peter and Paul were leaders of the church. And then he said, I'm going to keep on sending people. Within the context of the local church, I'm going to make sure you have continual reminders of these truths so that you don't stop growing. And then I just talked about spiritual power, spiritual growth, and it's a group project. We need that. Then last show, knowing and growing result in showing there is real change. Now, let me just give you a couple places where it is. And grace and peace be multiplied to you. Let me ask you, do you want peace in your life? Grow. You want grace, Christ's power, and all he's provided to be real in your life, to actually see it happening in your life? Grow. That's what he says. Grow in grace and peace. He says, let it be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of Jesus. That's how you get it multiplied. Whenever I hear someone say, I just don't see God doing much in my life, that usually means it's usually one of two kinds of people. It's people who really just aren't pursuing Christ. And so they're not experiencing the glory of this personal relationship. Or sometimes it's people who Satan has so discouraged their heart, they're struggling to believe all that Jesus said is true. I've been there. I'm like, Lord, I know you said it's true, but right now all I can hear is the voice of Satan barking in the background telling me he's not going to help you. You're not going to grow. This isn't for you. This is for better people. If that's you, I promise you, the precious promise and the precious faith is yours. It's yours. He died for you. That's one of the things I love about substitutionary atonement. He didn't just die for a mass of nameless, faceless people. He died for real people who are real sinners that he's really saving today and forever. Amen. And then the result, as we saw in chapter 3, is a steadfast faith in God. It just doesn't, it can't be broken. It can't be shaken. It can't be tricked. So here's my conclusion. Are you knowing Christ? Are you growing in that knowledge and growing and seeing Christ moving and talking to you and changing you in real ways? And is it showing up in every area of your life so that you're saying, man, things are changing? I mean, my spouse can see a difference in me. I'm telling you, my kids can see a difference in me. My workmates can see a difference in me. My neighbors can see a difference in me. My church family can see a difference in me. If that isn't happening, I'm going to give you three things, okay? They're not earth-shattering. You already know them. Be faithful to church. Come to church and get in a group and grow, because growing is a group project. Yes, you need to be seeking Christ on your own, but then come and seek him with other people, because other people make it more fun and more effective. Why? Because I've read the book of Ephesians. Especially chapter 4. I don't have time to read it this morning. I'm going to trust you to do it. Get a discipleship buddy. Remember when you were in school and says, now everyone find a buddy. There's real power in finding a discipleship buddy. It says, hey, will you walk with me in my spiritual growth? Will you do that for me? And maybe they're like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Listen, get somebody that you could say, let's seek Christ together and encourage each other. Get someone who's a little further ahead, and you've heard me say that. Get someone a little further ahead and a little further behind. Grab onto the person a little further ahead and says, here, help take me with you. And take the person behind and says, here, you come with me, and let's all of us grow together. Find someone in the church who's growing and ask them to help you. And then number three, get in the Word daily. Get a personal plan for being in God's Word. That's how you're going to know him. If you try to know him without God's Word, what happens? You become cultish. Don't do that. You need God's Word. By the way, if you ever hear someone says, listen, I have a personal relationship. Are you in the Word? No, I'm just experiencing Jesus in my own way. There should be an alarm screaming in your mind. That's a problem, because God reveals himself through his Word. That's dangerous. And warn them, says, hey, you need God's Word. No, I'm just having my own thing with Jesus. No, that own thing could be a demon. You don't know that's Jesus talking to you. I know. Listen, if I hear Jesus, I feel like Jesus is moving me in a certain direction, I consult God's Word and says, is this backed up by God's Word, or is just this me and my own fallen fancies? Because sometimes my heart leads me astray. Make sure and back it up with God's Word. Listen, for people who say, I just can't find time to be in God's Word, it's too hard, I've tried, I just can't stick to it, I want to encourage you. Listen, don't you quit. The payoff is amazing. Knowing Christ, there's nothing like it. But also a warning. Your soul, your joy, your peace, your marriage, your parenting, and your future are at stake. Know Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I need this. I need to be reminded of this continually. I could easily be led astray if I don't know Christ through his Word. Keep us from the deep fakes this world keeps on trying to foist upon us. These deep fakes that demonic, hellish, satanic teachers are trying to foist on us. And let us go to God's Word and let our soul drink deeply and grow wildly from what we're learning about Jesus and his Word. Let us grow crazy fast through what we're learning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Last week, I stood up here and blubbered after a pastor's message. And even while I was up here, I thought, emotion is a good thing, and it's fine. But Caleb, you're about to go home, and is there going to be real change? Or are you just going to let it be a nice teary-eyed speech after a message? That was in my brain afterwards. And I got home, and I went to this passage, which, and I came away saying, I have to know Christ. I have to know him. If I'm going to change, I've got to know him. And that produces change. And then I taught that this morning in my Sunday school class, that passage. And so if you were in my Sunday school class, you got a double dose because it was pretty much right on par. It's funny when you are in the same passage, in the same book with the same God, how that works out like that. But I wrote these things down, and I thought those last couple things were really good. And so I wanted you to know with me that standing up here and being emotional is not good enough. That's not good enough. It has to go further into practical changes. And so those practical changes, I'm already going to church. I'm going to keep doing that. Okay, that's good. But those practical changes look like my personal time with God. It can't be rushed. It can't be willy-nilly. It has to be more structured for me. And it has to be a set apart time in the morning for me. That's you guys have your own schedules and different things, but I'm just saying that's what I planned and have been doing and want to keep doing this week. And these were great things. And I do have discipleship buddies. I just haven't been talking to them. You can just kind of let those fall away. So I'm gonna boost those back up this week. Bruce can expect a few texts from me in the coming week. So that's my little tidbit there. I thought that was I thought it was a great message, and it's a nail in the fence post or fence board I had already put up, and I think that's great, and I hope you'll join with me. Bring them in. We're gonna sing this song that'll be up on the screen here, verses 1 and 3. Let's stand together as we sing.
The benediction, but then I'm going to give a final prayer. I'm going to pray for a pastor in Tennessee through some of Billy Travis's family. Their pastor, the pastor that's retired but still in their church, had a stroke. So I'm going to pray for him, and then for Chelsea Lason. Please hold her up in prayer. She needs your prayers. She's really battling some difficulties physically. Then I'm going to give this benediction, then I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And now may the Lord, who is the strength of his people, be your shepherd and carry you forever. And he doesn't just walk with us. I like how you said he walks with us. He's holding us. And so we praise the Lord for that. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up Bill.